From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. State transportation officials have taken a small step toward building a new ferry terminal at the end of Juneau's road. It's intended to shorten travel times and improve service between Juneau, Haines, Skagway, and the road system. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Federal officials approved a wide-ranging amendment earlier this month to the Statewide Transportation Infrastructure Program, or STIP. Among the dozens of new projects in the list is a call for $30 million for the new ferry terminal, but on no specific timeline. Projects that make the list aren't guaranteed federal funding, but it is one avenue that can lead to it. A Federal Highway Administration spokesperson says that the Cascade Point project is only illustrative at this point and is not yet eligible for funding. Goldbelt Incorporated, Juneau's urban native corporation, owns the undeveloped land at Cascade Point. By sea, it's about 23 miles closer to Haines and Skagway than Juneau's existing ferry terminal at Auk Bay. Goldbelt and the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities signed an agreement in 2021 to work together on the new ferry terminal idea.
We've been working together to try to come to an agreement to develop that area. We're still in a process of establishing feasibility, trying to establish that funding mechanism and who's doing what.
Rob Carpenter is the state's deputy transportation commissioner.
In this particular case, we have a potential vision of a long-term lease with Cascade Point where the Goldbelt Corporation would build it and we would lease it to them in some kind of long-term period.
The shorter ferry route is expected to reduce the system's operating expenses, slash fares, and shorten travel time. That's even after factoring in the extra driving time. It also means crew could complete a full circuit between Juneau, Skagway, and Haines without running afoul of a Coast Guard rule that limits work shifts to 12 hours. The concept for the new ferry terminal is Spartan and would not replace the terminal at Auk Bay. It calls for an unstaffed day-use facility with off-the-grid support infrastructure, pit toilets, storage tanks for drinking water and to take sewage from ferries, and an electricity generator on site. Goldbelt CEO McHugh Pierre says improving this link will have wider ripple effects on the average shareholder and Juneau as a whole.
Then we could have lower cost transportation, which would provide lower cost of goods, which would then lead to lower cost of services and lower cost of living in Juneau, not to mention fresher produce, you know, better products, and just overall better quality of life.
Additional facilities at the site could improve Goldbelt's shuttle service for Kensington mine workers. The new ferry terminal concept has its skeptics and critics. Aaron Brakel is with the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, which prizes the surrounding Berners Bay for its wildlife and pristine beauty.
You know, Cascade Point is a terrible project for Juneau. It's bad for Haines, it's bad for Skagway.
He says it will be a logistical nightmare getting people to and from the end of the road, though Goldbelt says it will offer bus service. Brakel says additional marine traffic in the area could also threaten herring runs in Berners Bay. However, Brakel says he's very supportive of the ferry system's interest in building an electric ferry. Earlier this year, the state applied for a federal grant seeking $46 million to build one that would work for short routes, specifically running between Haines and Skagway, Homer and Seldovia, or Ketchikan and Metlakatla. Brakel says if an electric ferry regularly ran between Haines and Skagway, then a ferry from Juneau wouldn't need to go to both communities in one day.
And it would really solve this Juneau to Northland Canal day run issue in a much better way. Auk Bay to Haines, perfect. You know, no other turnaround needed. That's a really good solution in my view.
Even if the ferry terminal doesn't happen, Cascade Point and other land around Echo Cove are flagged in Juneau's long-term land use plan for development eventually, with a mix of residential, recreational, and water-related uses. Historically, Juneau's local officials have supported development efforts there. In 1998, the Juneau Assembly supported extending the road to Cascade Point. And in 2013, the mayor attended a ribbon cutting for the new section of road. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Golovin residents are in cleanup mode as their community works to restore power, phone service, and clear debris. After the floodwaters receded from the weekend's severe fall storm, some locals are left with feet of sand in their homes.
My place there, we've got 3 feet of sand. We're still shoveling out with a crew here, trying to go ahead and get the sand back out of the living area so you can get the sheetrock to go ahead and dry off.
Alaska Senator Donnie Olson of Golovin says other residents in his hometown are dealing with the same issues. But some of his neighbors were not as lucky, and their homes were moved across town or floated away completely.
Housing still is the major issue down here because so many buildings have been shifted, if not knocked off their foundation. And you know, there are now debris, including houses that are in the middle of the road, blocking the way before we can get the roads back open.
Once the storm hit Friday evening into Saturday morning, water levels rose rapidly to 9 to 10 feet above the normal high tide line. The National Weather Service forecast highest water levels for Saturday evening. That same day, resident Dwight Amaktuluk posted on social media that half of the community was underwater and Golovin had lost power. As of this afternoon, Olson says the power was partially restored in the community, but not at the Golovin School. The priority is to maintain electricity for as many homes as possible so residents can save subsistence food stored in their freezers.
Because when that was out, we had a number of people that had to evacuate because there was no heat in homes. And now that we've got power back on, we want to make sure that stays there. And then after that, we go ahead and make sure that some kind of a food security situation where we can have something to eat as well as something to drink.
Outside agencies and organizations have been sending relief to Golovin directly, whether through the World Central Kitchen delivering food, Northern Air Cargo and Ryanair bringing in bottled water, or even via online donations.
So that was something that kind of boosted our we hadn't been forgotten down here in Golovin.
KYUK reported that the state of Alaska has identified Golovin as one of several communities that were impacted the most by the historic September storm. The Alaska National Guard has deployed guardsmen and women to Western Alaska to assist with recovery efforts over the coming days. Alaskans looking to support storm relief efforts should donate money to reputable organizations, officials say. Brian Fisher is the director of Alaska's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. He says, at least for now, monetary donations are what's needed most.
At this time, we don't need stuff and things. We will work on that, and when we have specific requests, we will share that with the public to make sure we're all helping our neighbors. But at this point, the most important thing to do would be to support those organizations.
Those include Red Cross of Alaska, the Salvation Army's Alaska Division, and the Alaska Community Foundation. Alaskans can donate to the Red Cross online and select your local chapter to make sure that the donation stays in the state. The Alaska Community Foundation has also set up a Western Alaska Disaster Recovery Fund, with 100% of donations going directly to rebuilding efforts. The World Central Kitchen is also accepting financial donations. They've already sent a plane load of supplies to the region. More information is available on our website, alaskapublic.org. And as for the weather, it's 58 degrees and sunny today. A new agreement with Japan's leading hydroelectric operator will give the long-planned Sweetheart Lake project south of Juneau a boost toward construction, developers promoting the project said last week. The Alaska Beacon reports that the agreement is between Juneau Hydropower, the corporation planning the Sweetheart Lake hydro project, and J-Power, a major Japanese hydroelectric company. The Sweetheart Lake project is planned and permitted for a site about 30 miles south of Juneau in the Tongass National Forest. The project would have a capacity of about 20 megawatts and promises to boost Juneau's energy generation by a fifth, says Duff Mitchell, managing director of Juneau Hydropowers. The cost is estimated at over $200 million. The cornerstone user will be Core Alaska's Kensington Mine, a gold producer north of Juneau. Beyond Kensington, Mitchell said, there's opportunity for Juneau's electric utility, Alaska Electric Light and Power. Mitchell said the project will help bring Juneau closer to the goal of its 2011 Climate Action Plan. The plan calls for a 25% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2032. Construction is expected to start next year, with operations starting 2 or 3 years after that. Tonight, there's a 20% chance of rain after 1 a.m., and the clouds will start building later tonight as well. The low tonight is 49 degrees. Tomorrow, there's a slight chance of rain in the morning, and then again after 1 p.m. The rest of the day is expected to be mostly cloudy, with a high near 56 degrees, and winds around 5 miles an hour. As the week progresses, the chance of rain increases. Wednesday and Thursday are looking rainy. This is KTOO. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.